Before we go into worship, no matter where we're at, I've had past experiences as a chaplain at a racetrack, different churches, but we also take the message, you know, to funeral nursing homes and the such, assisted living. But we always take this same message everywhere we go. And I've modified it a little bit for you today, because at Meskwaki Friends, we always say it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, you're always welcome here at Meskwaki Friends. And what that means is it doesn't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter your cultural background, it doesn't matter how good you think you've been. More importantly, it doesn't matter how bad you think you've been. Well, Pastor, I can't come to your church. You don't realize some of the things I've done. No, you're welcome. And you don't even have to believe to join us for worship, because maybe you might hear something that would strike your interest to have a conversation about enriching that spiritual life and developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want you to say it this way, because I've modified it for Bangor Liberty Friends. So say it with me. Welcome to Bangor Liberty Friends Church. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. You're always welcome here at Bangor Liberty Friends. Now, you've said that, and I know you're all honest people, so I believe you. Take that message out to your friends and family, out into your community, and let people know you don't need to be intimidated by that beautiful brick church out there in metropolis of Bangor, Iowa. Join us sometime. I would encourage you to do that. I've been here before. Most of you probably know who I am. I'm Mac McDonald, pastor, co-director, Meskwaki Friends. If you don't know me, my dad was Lloyd McDonald. He grew up at Liberty Friends, part of Bangor Liberty Friends, and that's part of Iowa Yearly Meeting. So that tells you what his tribe and clan is. And if you don't know my dad, maybe you knew my mom. She was Martha Hoskins McDonald, and she grew up at Pleasant Plain Friends Church, and that's part of Iowa Yearly Meeting. And now you understand her tribe and her clan. The clan would be Pleasant Plain, and the tribe would be part of Iowa Yearly Meeting. Now, culturally, a Native American man would introduce himself that way, so you would understand what tribe or clan he is coming from. And if you don't know him, maybe you know some of his lineage, and it might give him some value or credit what he might have to share. But there's one other thing that a visiting speaker or might have. And Bill, can I have you come back up front, please? I come from a different clan, and I come to visit your clan, and I come to share the good word. And by doing so, Bill has contacted me on more than one occasion to come speak, and I'm honored by that. But to show my honor, I need to present him with a gift, and I have a pair of socks. I share that my Meskwaki friends sometimes refer to their government name. As soon as you're born, you get a government name, and that goes on your birth certificate. They also have their Meskwaki names, their Indian names, and sometimes they don't get that name until they're 2 or 3 years old. So they'll go by their government name. My government name is John McDonald. My Meskwaki name is Beshadu. And it does not sound powerful and brave and you know. Actually, Beshadu means the old man. I was given that name by our middle school youth group. But I have another name, and we can go by several different names. And my other name is Meshu, and that's Grandpa. And we have a 1.5-year-old grandson, and we really have a lot of fun with him. I'm going to let my wife, Bernie, introduce herself. Sometimes we refer to Mac, the pastor and co-director, and then there's Bernie, the pretty one. She is my Nenemu. She's my old lady. But she is also a Guku. Not Cuckoo. Guku is like a real deep G in the throat, and that's Grandma. So We're really glad to be here today and to share a little bit about Meskwaki and also, you know, how that ties into Scripture as well. Another thing that we bring up every week at our worship service is the missing and murdered indigenous women. Missing and murdered indigenous women is a human rights crisis. Disproportionately affects indigenous people of North America. In the U.S., Native American women are more than twice likely to experience violence than any other demographic. One in three indigenous women is sexually assaulted during her lifetime. Law enforcement, journalists, activists, I think we fall under activists, in indigenous communities, both in the United States and Canada, have fought to bring awareness to the connections between sex trafficking, sexual assault, and women who have gone missing or have been murdered. The tagline that goes with that, or hashtag, is "No More Stolen Sisters." And the other thing that we say is, say her name. And there, say her name. Rita Papaki disappeared 7 years ago. They have her on video surveillance leaving the casino. And after that, there's no physical evidence to be found. And when you get into a crime like this, they call in the U.S. Marshals. This is a crime that's above the local police and above the state level. This is a U.S. Marshals jurisdiction. And so what we do is we say her name. And if you would say her name with me, it's Rita Janelle Papaki. So say it with me, please. Rita Janelle Papaki. We have said her name. We have said it out loud. That means we haven't forgotten about her. That lets her know that we haven't forgotten about her. And it lets God know that we haven't forgotten about her. And we will continue to search. We will continue to bring awareness to this crisis until some sort of evidence is found that that family can have closure. Another thing I'd like to share with you is every child matters. Perhaps it's been a blip on your news feed or in your newspaper, however you get your information, but it's been a huge hot topic amongst our indigenous North American friends. On June 1st this year, with the help of ground-penetrating radar specialists, the stark truth of preliminary findings came to light. The confirmation of the remains of 215 children who were students at the Kamloops Indian Residential School. Kamloops Indian Residential School, that's in Kamloops, British Columbia. It was open from 1890 to 1978. So it was open for 88 years. To give you a better idea of the proximity, you guys said, well, that's clear up in Canada. It's 300 miles northeast of Seattle. It's 300 miles northwest of Spokane, Washington. Really, it's just right across the border. And when I share this with you, I'm trying to bring it a little closer to home for you. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission estimates that over 4,000 children died while attending residential school. But the final commission report acknowledges that it's impossible to know the true number. The stated aim of this school was acculturating indigenous children. I'm not an educated man. I don't know what some of these big words are, so I had to look up the definition of acculturation. Acculturation is cultural modification of an individual group or people by adapting or borrowing traits from another culture. So you're wanting to change how they behave by changing the way they've done things in the past. Acculturalization is, you know, that doesn't sound horrible. We're just going to change you a little bit to fit in. Acculturization is often tied to political conquest. It's applied to the process of changing their beliefs, traditional practices, and it occurs when the cultural system of one group displaces another group. Another example of this acculturization, there was a world leader in Germany back in the 40s, and he was trying to acculturate the Jews, and they wouldn't cooperate, and they wouldn't behave, and they ended up in ovens. And you can say, well, we would never do that here in the United States, but I think back to after World War II. We assembled a lot of our Japanese American friends that had been living here in the United States, and we put them in camps just to make sure they're truly American and to change their Asian ways. So today, I wear orange. I wear orange in honor of the residential school survivors and those that didn't survive. You could say, well, Mac, that's just one instance, one little blip in the news, but I can tell you that was on June 1st this year, right after Memorial Day. On June 25th, a month later, 750 unmarked graves were discovered on the grounds of the former Merivale Indian Residential School in Canada in Saskatchewan. The search team didn't find a mass grave. They believed the headstones and the markers of hundreds of these graves had been intentionally removed. Well, that's two times, but then it was just a couple days later on June 30th this year. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation announced that 182 grave sites had been discovered near the location of former residential school in St. Eugene's Mission School in Cambrook, British Columbia, and it was operated from 1912 to 1970. We're not talking about ancient history. We're talking about something very recent. The definition of an active volcano is one that has recently erupted and that there's high potential or possibility that it's going to erupt again soon. It's estimated that over 4,000 children died in these residential schools. So I think we've just knocked the top off of an active volcano. And I know that you're thinking, well, those Canadians should be ashamed of themselves. But if we were to say that, we would be deflecting or distancing ourselves from the real situation. Because we as Americans, we as Christians, we would never do anything like that. You can go to New York City and we have this beautiful statue and it says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Well, as long as they're not too tired, as long as they're not too poor, as long as there's not too many in that huddled mass, our hands are not clean here in the United States. Native American boarding schools were established in the United States during the early 19th century with the primary objective of civilizing or assimilating Native American children and youth into a Euro-American culture, which would destroy or vilify their Native American culture. The motto was, kill the Indian and save the man. Children were typically immersed into Euro-American culture through forced changes to remove their indigenous culture. These methods included being forced to have Euro-American style haircuts. They were forbidden to speak their own language. There was talk about even bleaching their skin and having their real names replaced with more European American style names so that it would be more civilized or more Christianized. Investigations in the later 20th century revealed that and documented several cases of sexual, manual, physical, and mental abuse going on at these boarding schools. A large portion of these boarding schools and residential schools were established and are operated by Christian missionaries of various denominations. And I use that as a quote, Christian missionaries of various denominations. The government paid these religious orders to provide basic education to Native American children on the reservations. And again, we can say that was 150 years ago. That's ancient history. I would find it hard to believe that if, in fact, Christian missionaries of various denominations, if they had the same guidebook in life, the same Bible, the same God, the same Savior that we have today, that they would behave like that, that we treat people like this. And as a final footnote, on Thursday, July 15th this year, at the Meskwaki Tribal Center, a caravan with the remains of 9 children stopped at the Meskwaki Tribal Center to allow people to pay their respects and offer a meal to those escorting the remains of 9 children from the Carlisle Boarding School in Pennsylvania. So again, in honor of residential and boarding school survivors and in memory of those who did not. And just like Rita Papaki, when we say her name, we say it out loud and we remember that and they hear it. I would like to say the names of those 9 children that passed through the Meskwaki settlement, and I'd like for you to say it with me. Rose Long Face Little Hawk. Dennis Strikes First Blue Tomahawk. Maud Little Girl Swift Bear. Alvin Kills 7 Horses. Dora Her Pipe Brave Bull. Friend Hollow Horn Bear. Warren Painter Bear Paints Dirt. Lucy Take the Tail Pretty Eagle. Ernest Knocks Off White Thunder. I share this not to instill guilt or to make you feel bad, but I share this to bring an awareness. And the scripture that I want to share with you this morning, gosh, and it ties great in with Kelsey's children's message, comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And the subtitle of that section in the Bible says, Love in Action. Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, don't curse. Rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a lower position, but don't be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, because to do what is right in the eyes of do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The children's lesson said, well, what can we do every day? It's spelled out right here. This is what we're supposed to, this is how we're supposed to behave. This is how we try to behave at Meskwaki Friends. If we're not, you let us know, and we will change. I think about the part of the verse that says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We have a great time going to some of their ceremonies, and the powwows next week, by the way. They would love to have you there to see them. They want to show some of their culture. Fried bread tacos are awesome. We had a powwow July 13th was their proclamation day. That's their Independence Day. And they hadn't had powwow in over a year. And we pulled into the powwow grounds, and I opened the door, and it was like, smells like powwow. You smell the fried bread cooking in the grease, and you can smell the little campfires around. And it was awesome. And the kids are around giggling and having a great time. So we get a share in their joy. But in the same time, and we mourn with them during death. We have funerals, and we go to their wakes. And when we go to their wakes, we sit in a ceremonial house, and we sit in prayer and quiet. Not so different than us in the Friends community, sitting in silent prayer. We lost a member of our long-term member of our worship, Gene Wasescook, 95 years old. She didn't belong to the Meskwaki. She was Sioux. And so there was a lot of conflict. But does she have the right? Does she deserve to be buried here on the settlement? Or should we send her back to North Dakota? We asked permission from the hereditary chief, and he allowed it. But she didn't have a clan. So in her condition, she didn't have a ceremonial house to have this wake. Meskwaki Friends Church became her ceremonial house. They brought her body. They laid it in state. We were there for 24 hours so people could come and go and sit in silent prayer with her. We conducted a traditional Anglo-style Christian funeral. And the head pallbearer came in, opened the blankets, and allowed the natives to give a tobacco offering. Now, tobacco offering, they believe that they're going on a 4-year journey to heaven. And so in that journey, you will need food. So they'll put food in your casket. They also put tobacco with you, and it's tobacco is monetary, it's money. And so you'll need that tobacco to barter with on this 4-year journey. You get a brand new pair of moccasins, you're going to be traveling for 4 years, you better have a new pair of moccasins. But we get experience in that. And from there, we went to the cemetery on top of a hill in the middle of the woods. And I got to share the 23rd Psalm. And my friend Gaylord Walker, who's one of our board members and one of our attendees, he shared in Meskwaki before they lowered the pine box into the ground and covered her up. This is some of the things that we get to do. We walk with them. We get to share in their joys, and we get to mourn when they mourn. We try to live in harmony with them. I'm going to ask Bernie to come up and share just a little bit.
Mac asked me to introduce myself. So I would say that I'm from LeGrand Friends, so that would be my clan. But also, I was just sharing out there, and I wanted to share that this with you, and I want you. I'm looking straight at you, and you have this meeting. This is for you to hear. It's for all of you to hear. We had a reading a couple Sundays ago, and it just stuck with me. And it used to be that the tribes always had a coyote clan amongst them. And the coyote clan's responsibility was to wake up the tribe. To wake up the tribe when they are falling asleep, when they are resting, when they are complacent, when they are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I am a member of that clan. I think you're a member of that clan too, aren't you? They're supposed to be annoying. We're supposed to be annoying for Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to be annoying for Jesus. So I want you to pray for her tomorrow. And I want you to pray for those who have to be annoying. And try to be loving to them when they have to point out that you're sleeping, that you're not doing what Jesus wants you to do. Because they're trying to do what Jesus is wanting them to do. We all need to have those coyotes in our life. But it's not easy being the coyote. It's not easy giving you these messages. So last week, if any of you went to Iowa Yearly Meeting and noticed that Mac was there by himself, it was because I was at Indiana Yearly Meeting. And one of the things that was hard for me, and I was ready, you know, I had to pray. Because I was going to be next to the presidents of White's Institute in where we have our tables with all of our stuff, you know, our presentation stuff, our pamphlets and things, displays. Did I say displays? Well, anyway. A couple years back, he was just new to his position, and he came up to Mac, and he told us, I just want to tell you that there's a cemetery out at White's Institute. Do you guys recognize the name White? And maybe if I tell you his first name, it would be Jeremiah White. Josiah White. Thank you, Mac. I have menopause brain, and so I have a really great husband that helped me with that. We have Quaker Dell. Same guy. Loving, wonderful man. But there are Native children buried out in Indiana because they had an experiment out there to see if they could make it work. Friends, Quakers, we tried to do a good thing back then. None of our hands are clean in this. But when we try to take somebody's culture away from them, they become homeless because these children could not go home. They could not go back to where they came from because they did not belong there anymore. So cultural genocide is a real thing. I really don't have much more to share with you than what Mac shared with you, except I want to tell you about this. With everything that was going on with the breaking over up of the lands, we have a good friend. Her name is Diane, and she's from Canada, and she is part of the last of the children that were being taken from their homes. It was called the 60s Scoop. And Diane, she was going to be our speaker for our Meskwaki Middle School camp. And that had to be changed. And we're going to try to come up with a weekend. The set school bumped up their start date, so we have to change it. But anyway, I follow her, and this was a posting on her Facebook, and an artist did this, and it shows the elder. The artist's name is Tyler Ganelli. I totally ruined his name there, and I apologize. He drew this picture. And he drew it for the friends and the families of those who were hurting from the findings of the 215, that they will find peace. But he drew it for the ancestor that was coming back for the children, guiding them down the red road. That is the spiritual path. We believe in the path. They call it the Red Road. We know who that ancestor is. They call him Creator. We call him God. We call him Jesus. We call him the Holy Spirit. They call him the Great Spirit. It shows the school. It shows the crosses. I'm not even going to tell you what they use those crosses for. You don't need that right now. It shows that he drew the little hearts on the children. Inside the hearts is the white, and that's for hope. It shows the ancestors taking the hands of the little children and leading them and telling them not to be afraid. This picture really got me. But I always think of song. That's how the Lord leads me. I'm always singing. You know, growing up, I could find my sister at Fairway, aisles away, because I could hear her singing. So I would just go, oh, there's Susie. I'll just go here. So my sisters and I, we always sing. So the Lord keeps me going through song. So I'm sure all of you grew up, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Don't forget that brown. Sometimes we always learn red and yellow. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. But then I researched that song, and I went back. And here's a verse, because that's the verse I thought it ended there. But there's many verses. I'm going to teach you this one. Jesus calls the children dear. Come to me and never fear. I will take you by the hand, lead you to a better land. For I love the little children of the world. I'm going to try that without crying. Come to me and never fear. Let's do this again. Let's start at the beginning. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. Jesus calls the children dear. Come to me and never fear. I will take you by the hand, lead you to a better land. For I love the little children of the world. Guess what? We don't want to lead you.
That's right.
He has something to tell me.
And I have a bit of a warrior spirit when it comes to this kind of stuff. And so I say, fear not.
Yeah.
Because God is with us. Mm-hmm. And so you probably know this song, but we've contextualized it.
And maybe we've done it here before. I don't know.
Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so we'll go through it a couple times.
Sometimes.
I'm not the same.
Okay. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says Yahweh. Fear not. Child, you are mine. When you walk through the water, I will be there. And through the flame, you'll not, no way, be drowned. You'll not, no way, be burned. For I am with you. Hear the fun part? Woo, 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 woo. Fear not. For I am with you. Fear not. For I am with you. Fear not.
The Friends Church or the Quaker Church doesn't typically practice some of the certain ceremonies or sacraments. However, we believe that a life lived in the example of Jesus Christ is a ceremony or a sacrament in itself. We don't typically practice the ceremony or sacrament of communion. However, we believe that spiritual communion is experienced with God during our time of open worship and silent prayer. At Meskwaki Friends, we observe a time of open worship and silent prayer every Saturday night. It's part of our worship experience. Charles Eastman, Oasha. He was a Santee Sioux Dakota. He was a physician. He was a writer. He was a lecturer. He was a reformer. He founded 32 chapters of the YMCA, and he helped found the Boy Scouts of America. He said that the Indian believes profoundly in silence. Silence is the perfect equilibrium. Silence is the absolute poise or balance of mind, body, spirit, and emotion. Silence is the cornerstone of character. So I'd like to invite you into a time of reverent silence before the Creator. Wait upon Him. Listen for His voice within your heart. Seek to be quiet and attentive and focus on the Creator instead of yourself, as revealed in this, our Holy Communion.